Well, welcome everybody to this FOIL podcast, where I'm delighted to have with me some people from TIW. The TIW is a tech firm, and they are an active supporter of FOIL. And on the podcast, we have Stephen Jeeves, Senior Software Developer, and Alex Brown, Senior Business Analyst. And I'm also joined by my good friend, Mark Huxley, who's going to be helping us just guide the conversation to produce something that we believe will be very helpful and informative to FOIL members. So TIW Group is a European-based software and consultancy organization. Predominantly, it's services and insurance firms, but their solutions, as we're going to hear, are sector agnostic and can apply to multiple different sectors. And obviously, in context, we believe that this could be of value, the product could be of value to FOIL members in the legal sector. So I'd just like to sort of kick off the conversation, really, and perhaps start with you, Alex. If you could just tell us a bit about TIW Group, a bit more, and maybe your history, your current work. And I know you've got a particular product that you want to talk about, which is called Spinny.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much for having us to start with. But yes, you covered it pretty well there. We started in 2006, always been in and around London. We do have a European presence with regards to developers on the continent and obviously customers, and then also stateside. We've got some customers and users of different products and services, which kind of split, like you said, between the consultancy side, management of messages and gateways, which is obviously a big thing in the insurance market. And then Spinny and document management, which comes together as part of sort of proprietary software, as well as third-party software that we manage for. Realistically, with our kind of core pride comes with security, and security is at the heart of everything we do. And obviously, with the legal sector, that's a massive priority as well, to make sure that anything that's stored, whether that's in handwriting, whether that's in data format, whether it's being transferred, is to make sure that is secure and safe, and the best interests of whoever's information is on that document or data package or whatever it is absolutely secure. And yeah, like I said, like you said, Spinny, that was a big piece of work. We've kind of been working on it there for a good few years in various guises, but over the last 2-3 years, we've really pulled that together into a real sort of market-leading product with regards to functionality that I think we'll come on to slightly later in more depth. But yeah, unless there was any other questions on TIW Group, I'd say that's a fairly comprehensive overview.
Great, thanks, Alex. So you kind of referenced in your introduction there about the fact that you already work within the legal sector. Do you just want to unpack that a little bit more? Where do you fit into the legal landscape?
Yeah, sure. I mean, because we manage a lot of documents and a lot of secured information, we've always dealt with auditing legal requests and things of that nature. So not so much really software inside of law firms, but more dealing with legal requests and things like that. So that's always been on our radar from day one, really. With regards to what we offer, a lot of our consultancy is very insurance, because our knowledge from our consultants is so insurance focused that it's kind of within there. But our products are completely agnostic. So we run, it's a document management system. I believe it's the largest in the world. So it's Open Text Content Suite, which is completely agnostic. You can have bolt-ons for law, HR, whatever it was. Just allows you to manage your documents internally, make sure that's all well and good. And then Spinny kind of packs on top of that, which is for sharing. So this is purely document sharing and file sharing externally. Again, there is no insurance focus on that. It just happens that our customers originally were insurers. So that was just made sense for us as a firm to go to originally. But they do there's a lot of law firms that actually utilize Spinny as external customers, so to receive documents from.
Okay. So are you seeing a future where there is no paper and everything is just, all information is just contained and exchanged electronically? Or do you see any future for paper files?
Yeah, I think it's a massive question, and realistically, people can speculate, but we don't know. But I think ultimately, whether it's paper or not, there's always going to have to be a contract, and obviously, lawyers know that better than anyone. That the contract, and would you be able to have faith in a contract that was stored that you didn't have access to of yourself? Because the point of the physical piece of paper, if you make copies of a contract, they're wet signed, and then that's the bind to make sure that both parties are happy with what's there. There is absolutely a future for more database driven and transfer of data that way. Absolutely, it speeds everything up. It allows, and especially with things distributed ledger and blockchain, which makes it arguably unhackable, as it were, that becomes a lot more secure and a lot better with regards to sort of AI and automation and everything along that. But personally, I would say there's always going to be a space for storage of contracts and storage of files. When obviously they're no longer physical, no longer physically pieces of paper, and they can be. There's lots of fantastic DocuSign style products out there that allow you to have faith. Both parties have faith in what's written onto the document. But I think ultimately, I personally would like to have all of my contracts as documents still.
One of the key things I thought was interesting there about what you said is that, you know, part of the when you're using physical pieces of paper, part of the reason for that up to this point is that people want copies. You know, you want to have a copy of the contracts that are relevant to you, as do, you know, both parties. So by moving to a digital space, assuming that you could create a digital space that was secure and it was shared, you then have essentially one contract that can be accessed via all parties that is held securely and digitally exists. If you can create that, you know, whereas if you've got several copies, you've only got to mislay it or not lock it away properly. There's all those sort of physical security elements you also have to think about if you have a physical paper copy. You know, someone has to actually physically secure it. Whereas obviously, if you've got a system that can digitally handle all of that for you, all you have to do is make sure that you're using the system correctly, which I think is obviously hugely advantageous when it comes to comparing the sort of digital world to the physical world in that regard.
With physical, obviously, you have filing cabinets. With digital, you don't have filing cabinets. You've got servers and things like that. And that's really the main element around Spinnies. We allow you to choose your quote-unquote filing cabinet. So you can store all your files exactly where you want to store them. Whereas with sort of off-the-shelf options, you don't. You have to use their filing cabinets. So it's a very good analogy, actually.
Stephen, I was just going to kind of go on thinking more about the world we live in and how we transmit documents on a daily basis. I mean, vast swathes are now just shared by email with, I'm going to hazard, here's the question, you know, very little data and information security around them. Just how dangerous is that, and how far back behind that anticipated curve is that?
So I mean, there's obviously a number of different ways that people can store and share and manage documents. Email is still one of the most widely used, and I think what people don't anticipate is that, don't wrong, you can, there are ways of making mail more secure, but a traditional bog run-of-the-mill standard email is not secure. Email itself, it's essentially you're just uploading text or files to a server, essentially, that's other people download. I mean, there's other elements to this as well. So obviously, when you email something in transit, like I said, unless you're doing something to ensure that your emails are secured when they are sent and stored, if someone of a particular nature decided that they wanted to have a look at your emails and could intercept your emails, there's nothing to actually ensure that during necessary transit or storage that it is protected, unless you have an IT firm or something, someone that is doing that, you know, is taking care of that to ensure it is a standard run-of-the-mill email will not secure your document in any way, shape or form. So that's part of the issue. The other part of it is also a case of when you actually send your email, you don't actually know where it goes. How many servers will my email ping through before it gets to the other end? Where are those servers? What country do they exist in?
Yeah, who is your email provider? What rights do they have over the stuff you send by email? For example, a lot of people don't realize, but when you upload things like photos to, I won't name names, but to certain providers, you know, where you've got maybe an amount of storage, that you have to consider the legal implications of that, the fact that, you know, do you have complete ownership of your files? These are all sort of little nuances that in maybe sort of a normal domestic world day to day, they wouldn't necessarily concern you. But if you're talking about, you know, the insurance market or the legal market, these things suddenly become incredibly important. So yeah, traditional emails is definitely not secure. Like, IT has moved on drastically, really, since the days that we first got onto email. Obviously, email is hugely useful, very important. But when we're talking about securing documents and sensitive documents, we should be thinking about something that's more advanced than that, to ensure that actually the way we're passing files around is secure, and that it can't be intercepted easily, and that it is behind certain sort of login and restrictions and permissions and things like that.
Yeah, so I mean, you're absolutely right to say that security of documents is of paramount importance, certainly in the insurance industry, and particularly I think in the legal sector. But I mean, so email, not a good idea. I kind of get that, but surely just some sort of cloud-based Dropbox or a data management system would give that a good sufficient security, wouldn't it?
Obviously, this, it kind of comes down to two elements, is to make sure that it's secure in transit and secure at rest, which is when it's sat wherever it resides, which is essentially ratified with a document management system or one of the cloud provided document management systems. But it's really about the location, the physical ones and zeros of the documents. In the same way, if we go back to that analogy of the filing cabinet, it's like having all your documents sent over to a third party service. Then they file their documents and they say, well, whenever you want any of your documents, give us a shout and we'll pass it back to you. Now that comes along with a lot of other things, which if you wanted to delete a document or erase a document, you have to send a request over. Now, a lot of these providers, when you select delete, you can restore that document to its natural self at any point in the future, which clearly begs the question that it was never deleted. So it is definitely a step on with regards to sharing documents as email, like all those great points that Stephen made on why email is. You do remove quite a lot of those by using either your own document management system or a cloud-based document management system. But there's still that massive sort of grey cloud around. If someone came knocking, whether that's the FCA, the PRA, whatever it is, we need to see all of the documents that you share, that you hold, sorry, with this person's name on it, or that were shared with this person, or that came in via this broker, whatever it was. Can you satisfy that? Now, the first level we're talking about with email would be very complex. You'd have to be going through all these different servers and email servers and checking through individual accounts, sort of mass email boxes and things like that. This definitely makes that easier, the auditing side of things. But ultimately, when they said, okay, can you be absolutely sure that no one's been able to see all this information? That's when it becomes a little bit of a grey area, and proving that becomes a little bit more difficult. Whereas what we have allowed is that we give that experience, and that everything that comes so great with regards to document management systems and document sharing and SharePoint and things like that, but you get absolute clarity in knowing that you can store it wherever you want. Now, you can choose to store that in the cloud if you so wish, as your GCP, AWS, whatever you'd like to. But if you really felt that you needed some of these documents needed to be absolutely sure, and you wanted that quote unquote filing cabinet to be sat within your building, within your firewall, essentially, you can do that. So then, when you're sharing these documents externally, rather than sending them out via emails and just they're off into the ether, you send out basically an invitation for someone to come and get that file from a very specific location within your organization. So it sits on the perimeter, and they literally just get to probe in and take the specific item that they've been given access to take. Now, that also means that your documents stay where they are. if someone downloads it and takes it away, they've got access to do that. They can do that. But at any point, you can, with a click of a few buttons, say exactly the amount of files you're sharing, who you're sharing them with, and you can revoke access. So instantly, if there was, for whatever reason, the relationship broke down, you could cut off access to those documents you're sharing, knowing that they're not flying about in the ether, which is obviously a major piece.
I think another thing that's worth mentioning in regards to document management systems as well is that in my experience, certainly being that I've worked with a lot of them and all the different roles that I've had, they require a level of a much higher level of IT and system maintenance, like as in document management systems are, they're mass market, they're very sort of industry non-specific. They are literally purely for the case of, you know, you upload a document, download it. You then have to have other people to put in a huge number of different levels of roles, permission set, connecting it to domains, all these other sort of areas. Now, of course, there is obviously a being that it's a secure system. If you take Spinny as an example in comparison, yes, there's still a level of IT admin, but it's not anywhere to the same degree. And it's made in a way that's far simpler and easier to actually operate and use. Whereas like a DMS system, obviously they have to provide for every possible scenario under the sun, and they've got these huge, huge teams and these huge products that require a lot of space and a lot of maintenance, as I said. So I definitely think there's a difference in who their target audience is as well.
I mean, for fear of turning this into a sales pitch for Spinny, so
sure,
please try to overcome that in the answers you give, guys.
No, absolutely.
But just kind of unpack from a business maybe first, and then Stephen from a technology point of view, what is using something like Spinny, what's the benefit? Why does it make the world a safer place?
Yeah, and it really comes down to the ownership. If you've got customers in the same way that all legal firms and insurers have their customers, they've entrusted you, first of all, a moral standpoint with their data and all of this information that you've asked of them to complete that whatever contract that it is. And then obviously from a regulatory point of view, the way that you have to manage that data, that's all well and good within your file. But is it, as a company, you want to just ping things out and just say, all right, well, it's out there. But a lot of this stuff will have your firm's name on it and everything like that. So I hate to think about the amount of my data that just through virtue of being in the 21st century is out and about and just being sent around. What this allows is to keep everything within your organization's file or within your realm, essentially, and share pragmatically with people. So they get all of the stuff that comes with everything else. So you can theme it, you can do all your managing of all your accounts, all the users are managed on there, everything like that. And all of this functionality that we're updating every quarter with our releases. But ultimately, at its heart, the differentiator is that your files are staying within your realm, and that could be wherever you want it to be. You complete within the UI, you dictate wherever you want to, oh, sorry, the user interface, you dictate where you want to store these documents in that folder structure, and that's it. You're good to go. And then they stay there.
Yeah, all right, thanks. But that just sounds like a DMS Lite, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's a great point. It really is. The thing that's different between a DMS and Spinny is that it's designed purely for the storage, not just the storage of all of your documents. A DMS should be purely internal. What we're seeing a lot over the last couple of years working in deployments of this is that a lot of customers or a lot of firms have external access into their DMS, which was mind-blowing for me when I found that out, that they were allowing people within their firewall to access their document manager. Even when there is a permissions on, it's still a very risky thing to do. All that takes is a couple of failed either user error to provide access to the wrong area within your document management system, or an actual malicious attack. The other major piece that a lot of people will want to hear is that you're then paying licenses for external companies in a lot of cases, which is never a good thing. Whereas with Spinny, all your external licenses are free. Sorry, I know that was a little bit of a salesy thing, but that's a major differentiator for us, and why we don't see Spinny as a DMS and as this enterprise sharing platform, is that you can keep it on your perimeter, and it's just everything that you want to share is in one place that you know exactly where it is. The main thing, there's another huge element that we had at our heart of this project all those many years ago, is to make it API first. The importance of that, I'll pass over to Steve.
Yeah, of course. I mean, firstly, in terms of like integrations, if I talk about maybe some of like the more direct ones that I know that we've implemented already, if you consider things like login, there's a login experience, we run to a standard that is an industry-wide known standard called OAuth. I won't go into the details of all of that because I could talk technically about some of this stuff for far too long that won't be of interest to people. But what that means is that allows us, so if your organization is, say, running under a Microsoft domain or a Google domain or something like that, where that's how you're controlling, you know, all of your staff's email addresses and things like that, rather than having to have a whole new set of accounts or things like that, you can log in with your existing security considerations that your own IT teams have already put in place in regards to logging into stuff. We can connect the two. So actually you would log in via Microsoft, or log in via, you can even do it via OpenText, actually, which is a quite a cool one that we've done more recently.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, that's talking about direct integrations, but obviously integrations is baked in. As Alex also said, we are trying to make it API-centric. So everything we have built under the hood is now basically all the operations we do for Spinny are API-driven. What that means is, it's quite difficult to explain, but if you consider, the best way to explain it, if you consider like the restaurant scenario, so if you are like the people sat at the table and you've got the chefs in the kitchen, which is like your database, your files, your documents, the API is your waiter. It's the person that's sort of doing the ferrying to and from. Now, the beauty of this is that in most systems, that API is very limited. It's quite locked down, so you may not even have access to it. Whereas with what we've done, we're trying to create it in a way where we can open it up. So it could even be that actually, if you've got existing systems that you want to integrate directly to Spinny, you could actually, assuming that you had someone with the sort of technical know-how from the other system you've already got, you could just make a call via our API into Spinny and still sort of be able to integrate your two products directly without having to have too much input from us directly. You wouldn't need to go, oh gosh, we've got to call a TIW developer. And I mean, obviously we'd be here to do support and things like that, but the whole point is that you can do it yourselves, or that's what we're aiming to do anyway.
Yeah. And that's a really important piece actually, Steve, that it's completely white labeled. We're way at the back end. It didn't, TIW doesn't need to come up at any point. We're trying to make everything within the system completely administratable yourselves. And then with regards to this API centric, the main thing to think about is that it allows any action that you can take with the UI, so with using the different using the user interface, you can trigger that from other systems. It allows you to really reduce the amount of clicks that users are having to do to get a document securely out to where it needs to be.
So just kind of closing off, yeah, one each for both of you. The classic, what's the one piece of advice you would give, other than go and buy Spinny at the next breath? You know, the one piece of advice you'd give to folks listening to this that they can do to keep on top of the rigor of information security.
I think just from my perspective to start with, it's something that we've done quite a few times, is to really understand within your firewall, your system sort of map and how everything gets passed together. And I know everyone has their APIs, whether you know it or not, there's a lot of information being passed around. But it's really to work out those different ports out and how things are being sent out. Now, this can be, obviously this is a massively cultural thing as well. So you have to make sure that the company's, your firm's culture is that when you are sharing something externally, you must remember to make sure that all the information within what you're sharing is fine. If not, then you use some sort of actual tool to ensure that you're sharing externally. But yeah, I think it's really kind of to do, you need to work out where you want to be on the line of it, where it's the bare minimum to ensure you keep the PRA, the FCA off your back, or whether you kind of go that step further to really hold on to, because it's not so much just that. Like you see most days somewhere in the news about a firm being fined or a data being exposed and things like that. So just kind of, it's one of those, it's never happened to us type things until it does. So I guess that would be mine, is just to really take it seriously.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it is the classic analogy, isn't it, of that people only start installing like cameras and things on their house and stuff after they've had a break-in, which is not great. But for me, I would say, I think it's just my one takeaway from this would be to make time to actually consider what you're using, why you're using it, and what the implications are. I know that sounds like probably really simple, but the biggest thing that I tend to see is that people go along with their sort of business as usual process and things change, but their own processes don't. And then suddenly they realize that maybe things aren't as secure as they used to be, or that's not like the right way anymore. I think the classic example for this that most people would be aware of in the modern day is like when GDPR came along, and suddenly we all had to go, oh, blimey, we have to like consider, you know, what data we've got, why we've got it, who's got access to it, when we should we remove it, all of these sort of things that maybe people hadn't considered for a long time. But business as usual is great, but it's also like, it's the biggest thing where you keep something the same, because it you know, that's your business process, is what you've been doing the entire time. You don't think about it for maybe, you know, a number of years, and new things happen in IT. I mean, it's like the fastest moving industry probably that I've ever come across. I mean, I would be surprised if there was anyone could name a faster one. But yeah, I think it's just about taking the time to actually fully consider, well, you know, what systems you're using, especially when you're talking about documents and moving stuff around, why you're using it, and if there's, you know, if there are anything you should go, oh, blimey, do we need to look at updating that or changing that or anything on that sort of remit, really.
Listen, guys, that's been really, really interesting, and I'm sure that many FOIL members will be interested to get their heads around some of the issues that you talked about. As you say, you mentioned the PRA in particular, but of course the FOIL members are also regulated by the SRA, the Solicitors Regulation.
Sure. Yeah.
And that also has very, very stringent requirements in terms of data protection and document security. So I think this has been really, really useful. And personally, I found it very, very interesting, I have to say. A lot of things I hadn't quite appreciated. So thank you very much for that, Stephen, and also Alex, for sparing us some time to talk to us today. And thank you also to Mark, of course, for his inimitable, gentle questioning and challenging.
Pleasure.
So that's it. I hope this has been useful to everybody who's listened to it. And we'll see you all again soon.